Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. God has blessed us so much. Any amens out there, just put some emoticon claps there, some hallelujahs. I've just been reminiscing over that song. We've had some soloists sing a song over and over again of My Redeemer Lives. And it is so good to know that He lives. Any amens out there? I want to thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We have been so blessed to be able to reach so many, and I thank you for just your encouragement, your witnessing to those that are in your community. So many people do need to be encouraged, and that's what we're striving to do at ebcnc.com. Thank you so much for being living epistles as we show forth Christ in our society that's changing so much. On our website, we've got so many things. For instance, if you're witnessing and somebody wants to know more about Christ, we've got teachings that are there. If they want a Bible reading plan, we have it there also. So there's so many things that you can use our site as. Also on Mondays, we have our Monday Manna on virtual connection at 7 o'clock. Our Tuesday on our virtual connection at noonday, we're going through the book of Genesis. And then on Wednesday, virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke. We also have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays in the sanctuary at 2700 West Vandalia Road, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's been a phenomenal study as we've been applying it to our lives. As always, please continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person, our 10:45 in-person, and this 10 o'clock online that is blessing so many, and we just thank God for His mercies in that. I want to encourage you as you're going through your day to continue to pray. We've got a lot of bereaved families that are going through. I want you to pray for just more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. And pray for the homeless, those who are going through, especially with these weather fluctuations in different places. So many are being challenged. We're able to reach out to the homeless and destitute here in Greensboro by our giving programs that we've set out to do. And we thank you by your giving. We're able to give to others. God loves a cheerful giver, and we can purpose in our heart to give. And you have definitely done that. Whether you're giving through our app or sending it to our secure mailbox, or you're in our in-person services, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, as you can see in my background, we are going to go out on the ocean today, and there is a storm coming this old way as we are thinking about fulfilling our calling. So I want you to focus in on the Lord, and we will see you soon.
Okay, I'll be reading Psalms. It'll be a short one today. Psalm 68, 19th verse. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your possession, O God, the possession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. But bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us because of your temple at Jerusalem. May the Lord have blessing and read him his word.
Come on, put your hands together.
Hope that overflow down in my soul.
ought to praise him in the noonday. You ought to praise him when the sun goes down. There are so many blessings I can't count. Everyone, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you for all you've done. I said just this morning, I was thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Oh, my soul got happy. My soul got happy. My soul got happy. And my feet, they got light. Didn't they get light, baby? My feet got light. And I begin to feel all right. Anybody feel all right? I said, I begin to feel all right. I said, I begin to feel all right. And I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Sure, thank you, Lord. You should have been there when I came through. The church is on fire, the Holy Ghost too. I knew for myself that I've been changed. Angels in heaven beside my name. And I said, thank you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Sure, thank you, Lord. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Woo! Yeah, a brand new day. I knew for myself that I came through. The angels in heaven, they helped me through. And I said, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sure, thank you, Lord. He woke me this morning, early this morning, and I was clothed in my right mind. He didn't let me sleep too late. We got here on time. The Lord woke me right on time. And I said, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sure, thank you, Lord. It's my testimony. He made a way out of no way. Turned my midnight into day. He loosed my shackles to set me free. That's what the Lord has done for me. And I said, thank you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think I'll sing that again. He made a way out of no way. Turned my midnight into day. He loosed my shackle and set me free. That's what the Lord has done for me. And I say thank you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Jesus. Sure, thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you for all you've done.
Are you thankful for all the blessings in your life? I know I am. The Lord has definitely been good. Well, as we get back into fulfilling our calling, I pray that you have really been allowing God to search your heart via the Holy Spirit so that we can be used of Him in this season, in this time of our life. I want us to go back to our memory scripture where we've been reading it aloud together so it can get into our minds and seep into our hearts, and that's 1 Corinthians 6:19. at 1 Corinthians 6:19. We've been focusing on a lot. Today we're going to have some more parts of it just to encourage us. But let's look at that 6:19. Let's read it together. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? It always comforts me to know that God is in charge. Well, before we go any further, let's go in a time of prayer. Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for technology that allows us to connect each week together, Lord. No matter where we are, thank you that we can receive a word. I pray for those that are looking and listening in, Lord. Maybe there's some that don't know you today. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Oh, that they experience that wonderful grace. Now, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You are our guide. Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you for your presence today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to another book as we're focusing on how God fulfills his calling in our lives. And that book is the book of Jonah. Yes, the book of Jonah. A wonderful example of the calling working in his life and also struggles with that calling. So let's go to Jonah chapter 1. I want you to focus in on that third verse. Jonah chapter 1 and 3, it reads, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I want to speak from a subject today. When your calling doesn't make sense. Yes, when your calling doesn't make sense. Any amens out there? I'm telling you, there are some times in our lives that God is up to something and he's using us. It just doesn't make sense to us. And I believe that as God is fulfilling that calling, that's where the struggle. We've been walking through the whole process, looking at Jeremiah, his struggles. And today we are going to really focus in on Jonah. Time frame is about 760 BC, 760 BC. And we're just going to jump into this first chapter, which really gives us the history of what's going on in Israel and abroad. And we again lift up this character of Jonah. Jonah 1, 1 and 2, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." I want to, this first point, I want you to think about how God is actually working in your life. It says, where is the need? Where is the need? I want you to think about where is the need that God wants to place you at in your life. And so many times, we must be honest with ourselves, the needs that are around us, sometimes we don't want to be used in those needs. We're praying for others to be used. Jonah here of the Israelites, he really does not like the Ninevites. He has an issue with them just because they were so cruel. And when they had invaded other areas, and even those of the Israelites, when they would take their prisoners into captive, they would torture them and literally strip the skin off of their skulls. It was just horrific. And so Jonah has this background. But yet God wants him to take a message to his arch enemy. Now, there's interesting, as I look at this scripture, it says he's the son of Amittai. I love to look at and break down names. Names are so important. So in the Hebrew, Amittai means faithful, true to God. faithful, true to God. So he's the son of Amittai, and what it's saying that Jonah literally should be walking in the faithfulness and trueness to God, but yet we're going to find out Jonah is struggling with his calling because it just doesn't make sense to him. As we think about this wickedness in the area, he has this backdrop on his mind, and again, that makes the struggle the even stronger. Where are you needed right now? Maybe on your job, a job that you don't want to be at. Maybe in a family struggle that you just don't want to deal with. Maybe in your neighborhood, God wants you to step up. And oftentimes that need is kind of like the military, Marines or Army or Air Force or Navy. We're sent to areas that have confusion. We're sent to areas that there is a problem that's there. That's where the need is. It makes sense. But again, that is a challenge to our mindset. For so many times, we just want to be at places where it's easy. Any amens out there? Just put in the chat, easy. But God sometimes wants to take us to places that are hard. Can you put that in the chat? H-A-R-D, hard. And so in that process, sometimes, again, our calling just doesn't make sense. Notice as the story continues on to Jonah 1:3, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here's the point. Choosing a different path. Yes, choosing a different path. When our calling doesn't make sense, oftentimes we find ourselves going in a different direction. Even when we've heard God, Jonah, he heard God. He heard the voice of the Lord. There was specific direction. Jonah's like, I'm not doing that. It doesn't make sense to me. I know you're God, but I'm going to choose my own path. How many of us struggle with that? We heard the voice of the Lord, but it doesn't make sense to us. And so we choose to go the way that we want to go. How's that working out for you? God commanded Jonah actually to go to Nineveh, which is 500 miles northeast of Palestine. So listen, that's the command. I need you to go 500 miles northeast of Palestine to Nineveh to give them a word from me. Instead, he goes 2,000 miles in the west. Some of you need to say ouch out there. He goes in the opposite direction, 2,000 miles. Tarshish was probably on the south coast of Spain. And God actually wanted to go with Jonah to Nineveh. This is so important. But Jonah chooses not to go with God to Nineveh, but go in a different direction. How many of us are like this? God is saying, you know what? I want you to go somewhere that doesn't make sense, but I'm going to be with you. And we go, no, God, it doesn't make sense. So I'm not going with you. I'm going in a different direction. Saints of God, in order to fulfill our calling, we have to come to the point of trusting the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Isn't that what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk in places that we don't understand. God uses us in ways that we don't understand, but we can trust Him. Look at Jonah 1:4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. I can see Jonah gets on the ship, pays his fare. He's there, he's not talking to anybody. Here's the point, warnings from God. Yes, warnings from God. I found out in my life, you can choose a different direction when your calling doesn't make sense, but there are going to be some warnings, especially when God knows that we've heard His voice and understands His voice. It's kind of all of us. If you had good parents that disciplined you, your parents would tell you something, and you could pretend that you didn't hear it, but they knew. They had this sixth sense of some type to know you heard what they said, and there was a warning that would come forth. That whole process is here. The Lord actually, in the Hebrew, it's a really poignant picture. He hurls out this wind, this Euryclidon, after Jonah. We see God is a little upset with Jonah. I tried it the nice way. I need you to go. This is not really a question for you to say yes or no. I want you to go to Nineveh. There is a great ministry that needs to take place. And Jonah should have been more, God, thank you for using me. But again, that calling just didn't make sense to him. What does God have to do to get our attention? I want you to think about that. What does God have to do to get your attention? The ship literally is about to be broken up. This hurled wind, your Clidon is coming at them. Your sin can actually cause other problems too. Yes, the problems that occurs, please understand, is not just specifically on Jonah, but everybody that's in that ship is dealing with the sin of Jonah. David said this. We can run from God all we want to, but in Psalms 139:7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? That a first, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. There is no place in this universe that we can hide from God when your calling doesn't make sense. Look at Jonah 1:5. Then the mariners were afraid. They're in this storm, and we're going to find out what's going on with Jonah. And they, every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. Jonah 1:6. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." That seventh verse. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Here's the point. Real easy one. Sleep. Sleep. Yeah, wherever you're sitting at, can you just say sleep? If you're in the chat, just type sleep. This is important. Jonah is fast asleep down in the lower parts of the ship. Jonah has decided, "God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do, and I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm just going to rest." He is on vacation from God, and I want to give you a word. Some of you are on vacation from God, and God is like, "I will not let you rest." It is amazing how so many of us can actually sleep when our calling is needed in the world. We've got all this stuff that's falling apart around us, but yet we're asleep. We're like, "I shall not be moved." We're like, "I'm going by my own direction. It doesn't make sense." But I am telling you, once we submit to God, what a change that we can make in the society. What souls that we can see that are coming to the knowledge of the Lord, simply because we are fulfilling, God is fulfilling the calling that he has for us in our lives. We often ignore there's so many warnings that are going on. Look at our society. Look at our families. Look at our jobs, the struggles that are going on around us. And God is saying, "I want to use you." The mariners, think about them. They're caught up in this storm, don't understand what's going on, and they're crying out to their gods. When Jonah is asleep and he knows exactly what's going on, Jonah just didn't care. I pray today that that's not your story, that you've just stopped caring. You don't care about those who are struggling. You don't care about a call that God can use in your life to really impact so many. I pray that it never be so within our lives that we get to a point of just being bored with God, in a sense, and we just get caught up in ourselves and we don't think about or want to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives. Look at Jonah 1:7 again. "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.'" We want to know. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Jonah in one sense, felt he could hide. He goes down into that inner part of the ship, doesn't talk to anybody, but you can't hide from God. Whose you are will always come out. I hope you get that. Whose you are will always come out. We're going to talk about that. God has purchased us with his life. If you are a believer and you've been saved, you've been purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. I love this saying that I'm getting ready to talk about. In 1940s, Joe Louis actually came up this. He was in one of his fights, and he said, "You can run, but you can't hide." Yes, you can run, but you can't hide. Some of us have run in our lives, but you cannot hide from God. God knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows which direction we're going in. But I'm telling you, God's will be done. Any amens out there? Proverbs 16:1 talks about this. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits when your calling doesn't make sense. Look at Jonah 1:8. Then they said to him, after that lot fell on him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you?" So he said to them, here it is, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now, this is so important. We're going to talk about that later. Keep that in mind. "I fear the Lord." Jonah 1:10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Those who didn't even know the God of Jonah, they said, You running from God, because he had told them. Here's the point. Own it. Yes, own it. When you mess up, when you run from God, when you're doing what you want to do and not what God has called you to do, first you got to own it. You got to realize, okay, it's me. I have sinned. I have messed up. I have fallen short. I need a Savior. I need Christ. You got to realize, oftentimes we run in a different direction from the Lord because of fear, because of faces. We've been talking about that, because of people telling us that we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. But you know what? The only voice we need to hear really is the voice of the Lord. This confession again in Jonah 1:9, he says, "Okay, you found me. I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." I love that. As he put that, he said, "The sea." I realized there's a storm going on. I was trying to go my own way. God has tracked me down. He knew I'd be on this ship. I'm sorry that you're going through all of this, but I am God's. I am the property, in the sense, of the Lord. And he has a message. He has a calling in my life that needs to be fulfilled, but it just doesn't make sense. We must submit to God's will. God had that divine calling, and we have to embrace that. He has a divine calling. We talked about it with Jeremiah. From the foundations of the earth, God has put a divine calling on our lives. God, in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6:19, talks about this divine calling. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own?" That's our memory scripture. We have been called by God. But that 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We got to understand that even when that calling doesn't make sense, God's will is that perfect way. And when we go contrary, just as Jonah's Hebrews 10:31 talks about this, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is. And right now, Jonah and these mariners, these sailors, are right in the hands of God in the midst of this tempestuous storm. Look at Jonah 1:11. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may calm for us?" It's about self-preservation at this point. Jonah, you're the cause of this. You didn't do what God wanted you to do. What do we do now? "For the sea was growing more tempestuous, and he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me.'" Here's the point. Consequence of sin. Yes, consequence of sin. Jonah in this verse 12 again, and he said to them, this is your solution. "Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. And then he makes this statement, and he owns it. He says, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Saints, I want you to look at your life. Seriously, are you allowing God in some sense to fulfill his calling in your life? Are you fighting with that? Are you struggling with that? And I tell you, if you're struggling with that, going your own direction, maybe you're seeing some consequences of sin in your life. You're seeing some struggles that didn't have to be there. Maybe you're going through stuff that you just don't have to go through when you just give yourself to the Lord and you walk in his peace and you allow him to order your steps. In essence, Jonah is saying, you know what, if you throw me overboard, you can have rest. You can have peace because I am the central character in this. God is after me. I find that interesting. But God is after Jonah because the message, and prayerfully, if the Lord allows, we're going to come back to this and we're going to look at that calling in actual action. There's souls that need to be saved. Romans 6:23 talks about the consequences of sin. Sin pays off with death. In another translation, it says, but God's gift is eternal life given by Jesus Christ our Lord. That is good news. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How many of us must be judged in order to have peace in other people's life? I hope you got that. So many of us, if we're out of God's will, we're going to have to be judged in order for those that are around us to have peace in their lives. John 1:8 talks a little bit about this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've got to own it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Jonah owns it. I celebrate Jonah for that because there's so many people will not own the fact that their calling is inside of them and they're going in the wrong direction and they're still running. Remember Paul. Yes, he had some issues, but God arrested him in his tracks. Acts 9:1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of the Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or the women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. We see Paul here in his earlier life. He is actually going up against his call. He is doing something that's contrary to God's will, going in his own direction, Acts 9:3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. That sounds like what's happening to Jonah. Jonah's on the sea, and the storm is coming to get him. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The same inference here. We see Jonah, he's literally persecuting God by doing it his own way. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goad. Saul, Paul had the same struggle, but God always wins. And the quicker we get into the fulfillment of our calling and we embrace that and we cry out to God and say, use me, the quicker that more souls can be impacted for Christ. Hebrews 12:5 out of the contemporary English version, it says, but you have forgotten that the scriptures say to God's children, when the Lord punishes you, don't make light of it. And when he corrects you, don't be discouraged. This is Jonah. He is getting punished at this point. The Lord corrects the people he loves and disciplines those he calls his own. Be patient. When you are being corrected, this is how God treats his children. Don't all parents correct their children? God corrects all of his children. And if he doesn't correct you, then you don't really belong to him. Our earthly father corrects us and we still respect them. Isn't it even better to be given true life by letting our spiritual father correct us? God will correct us. The fact is, though, there's sometimes it takes some time. Yes, I remember growing up as a kid, and a lot of my discipline was delayed, especially with my dad. I would do something, and I would think I got away with it, and it may have been hours, it may have been days, and then all of a sudden, I would see that look in his eye, and I was like, uh-oh. And he began to give me this this lecture and go from there. And then he would remind me of my sin of the past that I had forgotten. I had moved on, but he hadn't forgotten. It's the same thing with God gives us time to repent. And sometimes we said, I was giving you time to admit and own your sin. But yet you continue to go in your own way. Hebrews 12:10, our human fathers correct us for a short time, and they do it as they think best. But God corrects us for our own good, because he wants us to be holy as he is. For Jonah, God's calling is to walk in his holiness and to be example to people who don't even know the Lord. Hebrews 12:11, it is never fun to be corrected. In fact, at the time, it is always painful. Any amens out there? As we're being corrected, we're going through their struggles. Jonah's being corrected. Saul was being corrected. But we learn to obey by being corrected. We will do the right thing and live and have peace within our lives. That's what we want. And so Jonah is here at this point and saying, I'm the cause of it. Throw me overboard. But look at what happens in Jonah 1:13 as we pull it together. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased. I'm telling you, these mariners, they're probably Phoenician. They don't even know the God of Jonah, but they're crying out to him. They're like, whoever you are, please don't put the blood on our hands. It was not our fault that he's on this ship. Jonah 1:15, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its rage. When you're calling, just doesn't make sense. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Here's the final point. The world can't save you. Yes, I know that's a tough one as we're talking about the fulfillment of our calling. The world can't save you. You can run, as Joe Lewis says, but you can't hide. And in this process, so many of us are hiding behind social media, hiding behind jobs, hiding behind family, hiding behind the stuff that we want to. But please understand, the world cannot save you. Look at this judgment. The Phoenicians, these mariners, they try to save Jonah. They row even harder, and they're like, we're not going to throw you over. We can handle this. But the more they rowed, the worse the storm got. In essence, God's like, hey, you need to stay out of my business. I've got to deal with Jonah, his heart. And I believe so often we have to come to the point and saying, God, work on my heart. The world will often pray for the saints. Yes, I believe that there's some people in the world that are praying, God, would you allow your saints to step up. I need a word from you. I need to see a true example of what it looks like to walk in Jesus. Jonah is finally thrown overboard. Please look at the picture. He is not fighting. He is resting with himself. He has owned his sin. He's like, if you throw me overboard, everything will be fine. And finally, they throw him overboard, and the sea laid down like a lamb. All the raging ceased at that point, and now the mariners are left looking into the ocean as Jonah goes to the bottom. We've got to realize that we're in a season and time that judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. Yeah, God's chosen people. You may say, Pastor, give me a scripture for that. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will be the ungodly and the sinner appear? Saints, we must step up. Those who are saved and delivered and set free, God wants to use us. Notice in this, even as Jonah is thrown over into the sea, those who don't know God, who are coming to know God, these Phoenicians, they make a sacrifice to the Lord and they make vows. They're like, you know what? I need to get to know this God. So even in our disobedience, even in our running, even in our struggle, God is still glorified. There ought to be some hallelujahs and amens. Put some claps in the chat. When we think about our God does exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Well, as we stop right here, I want you to know Jonah is an interesting character, and the Lord allows me. I want to come back and I want to look at his calling, but I want to give you a better Jonah. You know his name. He still has a J, but it's a Jesus. I am so glad for what God has done for us by sending his son to walk among men, to heal the sick and raise the dead. But there's a particular portion of the scripture that I want to compare to Jonah's situation. You remember Jesus when he was on the ship. Let's go to Mark 4:37. When your calling just doesn't make sense, and a great windstorm arose and the waves beat in the boat so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern of the sleep of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I love this picture here, because as Jonah got on the ship, he was running away from God, but Jesus gets on the ship and he's right in the will of God. When your calling just doesn't make sense, Mark 4:39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Aren't you glad for a God that shows us the example? Please notice, Jonah was on that ship, but in order for the peace to stand still, he had to be thrown off of the ship. But Jesus is right in the will of God, and he's able to speak to the storm. There's some of you that need to get in the will of God, and I'm telling you, your situation is going to change. Look at Mark 4:40. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus was asleep like Jonah, but I'm so glad that he woke up. There ought to be some saints. I'm glad that he woke up. I'm glad that he spoke to the storm. I'm glad that he showed us what it was all about being in the will of God. But saints, understand that he had to be judged for us. He goes to the cross of Calvary. Please, Jonah was thrown over the board because of his sin, but Jesus was nailed to a cross because of our sins. He bore our griefs and carried our pains. 2 Corinthians 5:21 lets us know, "For he who made him the new know no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I hope you got that. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's good news. So when our calling doesn't make sense, we can still trust the Lord. I am so glad that on that cross of Calvary, he gave up the ghost. We see a storm coming over the ocean. We see an earthquake taking place. They peeled his lifeless body off the cross and put it in a cold grave. But the good news, we know the end of the story. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory for us. And when God puts a calling in our lives that doesn't make sense, we can say, "God, it's all about you, and we trust you." Now we have Jesus. He's on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. Saints, I want you to examine yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to turn the light on, that you can see what God has created you for. There was a point in last Sunday's message. It was, what are you created for? Why has God allowed you to be born in this season and this time? And I believe with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength that there is a calling that you have to walk in. God wants to use us, and I believe our callings impact others that are going through. What does God want to use you for now? I know sometimes his calling just doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes we have just gotten caught up in our lives. We've gotten caught up in the lies of the world. The world has tried to save us, but it's just not going to work. And some of you are at the point, you're like, "God, I need to hear you. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to submit to you." Because more souls are out there that are crying out, and God wants to use us. Please, in Jonah, God says, "I need to use your voice to go to Nineveh." Yeah, you know the story. We're going to get back to it. Jonah does get to Nineveh because God says, "I've got a special message that only you can deliver." And I'm speaking to someone. God has a special message that you have to deliver. Maybe it's somebody that's on your job. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody when you go to the grocery store. There's a special message that God has given you, created you from the foundation of earth. There's something that you need to do. Maybe there's some nurses out there that don't want to submit themselves to actually being a nurse, but you've got all of those gifts and skills and you've chosen a different path. Maybe there's some teachers out there for the school system, but yet you've chosen a corporate job because you just don't want to deal with those kids. But God has said, I've got a calling on your life. And there's a child that needs to hear from you. There's a man that needs to hear from you. There's a young lady that needs to hear from you. Let us submit to the will of God, even when that call doesn't make sense. If you don't know Christ, your first step to making sense out of life is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. To realize it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves, it is a gift from Him. And to accept that gift, to say we need a Savior. And when you understand that Savior is Christ, and He's come to deliver us, and you cry out to Him, man, He'll bring peace. And now that's when the calling can truly be fulfilled within your life. To the saints, let's step up. Let's pray more. Let's read His word and say, God, I get it. I get it. It may not make sense to me, but I trust You. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for this word. There's so much more, but I pray that You've spoken to hearts today. Father, forgive us for the times that we've gone in our own direction. Forgive us, Lord, when we've had to suffer the consequences of sin. And forgive us, Lord, for many times not being in Your perfect will and others having to go through because we weren't where we needed to be through. But today, Lord, we ask You to use us today. I pray that there be testimonies from people in lives, Lord, as they decide once and for all, God, I am ready to be used for Your service. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this day, another day to walk close to You. We give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who told the sun where to stand in the morning? Told the ocean you can only come this far, yeah. And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? And whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this light within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives. Same God who spent things in the orbits, He runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and with those same gentle hands they hold me when I'm broken. Who conquered death to give me victory. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives to take away my shame. For my sins. gave. Now his life.